the artist who was employed to paint a portrait of Oliver Cromwell asked the great man how he would like to appear in his portrait. Cromwell replied, "Just paint me as I am, warts and all." We have many portraits of great men in Scripture. And the Holy Ghost, the author of the book, has painted them, warts and all. There is no attempt to cover their follies or to ignore their sins. Instead, we are given the whole picture. We are given the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth with regard to many Bible characters. In the Word of God, we read about Noah. And we admire Noah and what he accomplished by faith. But the Holy Spirit does not ignore the awful fact that Noah ended his days in shame, in drunkenness and in disgrace. Genesis 9, verses 21 to 24. And then we look at the life of David. We see how, by grace, the Lord took this man from the fields of minding sheep and placed him upon the throne of Israel. He was indeed that nation's greatest king. And yet we are told that he fell into gross sin when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. The Holy Spirit records these facts, and they are recorded for our learning. We read of the exploits of Abraham. Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham, the father of the faithful. Yet, the Holy Spirit of God informs us of those times in Abraham's life when his faith failed him. Like that time when, because of a famine in the land, Abraham went down into Egypt. On that occasion, Abraham walked by sight and not by faith. And that sojourn down into Egypt almost cost Abraham dearly. He almost lost his wife down there in Egypt, except for the intervention of God. So the Holy Spirit reminds us of the weaknesses of these men of God. And another person whom the Scriptures describe as a just man, as a righteous man, as a man of God, the man by the name of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. His life began well. And perhaps we wish that we didn't know anything more about him, other than what we read about him in chapters 11 and 12 of Genesis. Instead, the Holy Spirit has recorded for our learning the foolishness of this man. For when we are introduced to him, we see him as God's man. We see him as a righteous man. But then, when we bid him farewell, we find him as a caveman. Lot went from being God's man to being a caveman. For we read in Genesis 19, verse 30, "And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters." How and why did the life of Lot deteriorate in this way? How could he possibly go from being God's man to being a caveman? From living in tents, from having so many possessions, from enjoying great wealth, finding himself living in a cave with nothing that he could call his own. If there are many lessons to be learned from other Bible characters, without a doubt there are many, many lessons to be learned from the life of Lot. Lot, the man who went from being God's man to being a caveman. Let us first of all consider Lot, the blessed man. That's where we find him, as he is introduced to us in Holy Scripture. The Lord was pleased to bless this man Lot. He began well. His life began very well. He had many privileges. He was given every chance to do well. But unfortunately, the man who began well did not finish well. Dr. Paisley's father used to say quite often, "It's not how a man begins that matters, it's how he finishes." Lot did not finish very well. This man was given the name Lot by his parents. He was well named because Lot means concealed or dark color. When we look at Lot's life in the early chapters of Genesis, and we see him as a blessed man, yet there is a dark color to his life. There's a dark side to his life. There is something in the early chapters of his life that is concealed, that is later revealed in his life. Something that came to the fore in the latter days of Lot's life. Let us consider with regard to Lot being a blessed man, consider his pathway in life. Turn please to Genesis chapter 11. And it is here that we are introduced to Lot. We read verse 27 of Genesis 11. "Now these are the generations of Terah. And Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. The very next verse informs us of the death of Lot's father. And Haran died before his father Terah. So we read there that Lot's father died before his grandfather died. And I have no doubt that the question naturally arose upon the death of Lot's father, who was going to care for Lot? Who was going to be his guardian? Who was going to look after him? When we come into chapter 12 of Genesis, we are given the answer. For when Abraham's father died, we're told in verse 4 of Genesis 12, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Here we see the providence of God in Lot's life. Abram, the father of the faithful, became the father of Lot. He was a father figure for Lot. Perhaps it was then, during his sojourn with Abraham, that Lot gave his heart to the Lord. Because at some time or another, some stage in his life, that's exactly what he did. We know that from the writings of Peter. You turn, please, to Peter, to 2 Peter, chapter 2. There we read in verses 7 and 8, 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8, with regard to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God overthrew those cities, we read, and delivered just Lot, or justified Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul. So we find that Lot indeed was a just man or a justified man. He was a righteous man. I wonder, was it then when he sojourned with Abraham, when he was under the care and guardianship of Abraham, was it then that Lot gave his heart to the Lord? Because I have no doubt that Abraham was a great influence upon Lot and upon his life. For we read in Genesis 18, verse 19, the Lord said of Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So I have no doubt that Abraham was a great influence in the life of Lot. Because Abraham was a man of God, he commanded his children and his household after him. And yet we find that Lot, even though he enjoyed this great blessing in his life, we find that he ended his death living in a cave. How the mighty have fallen. Just look again at Genesis 12. We see the influence that Abraham had upon the life of Lot. Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Look at verse 5 of the same chapter. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, And then we note in chapter 13, verse 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. In verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And so we discover that Lot became a follower of a man of God. He became a follower of a man of faith. He had all these privileges brought up in the household of Abraham, a man who ordered his children and his household in the ways of God, a man of faith, a man of God. Lot had all these privileges, and yet he ended his days in a cave. Oh, dear child of God, let us learn from this man's life. Let us indeed learn from Lot. Discover that it is possible for a man to have all these blessings and all these privileges to end his days as Lot did. There's something happened between the days when Lot was blessed and the day that Lot finished his days in a cave. Something took place in between. And that's what we want to look at tonight. And we ought to remember the words of the Apostle Paul. Because if we are tempted to say, oh, I would never finish my days as Lot finished his days, we should remember the words of Paul to the believers at Corinth. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Who would have dreamt, who would have thought that this man who was so blessed and enjoyed the fellowship of Abraham and his household could end his days the way he did? Next, we see how the Lord preserved his life. When Abraham and Sarai went down into Egypt, we learn in chapter 12 of Genesis that Lot went with him. And as we've already pointed out, Abraham could easily have lost all that he had because of his foolish decision. But then the Lord was pleased and graced to intervene. And the Lord saved Abraham and he saved Sarai. They also saved Lot. For Genesis 12, verse 17, we read, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. We read then at the end of the chapter, and Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had, and that included Lot. So here was a man who had enjoyed the favor of the Lord in being brought up in the household of Abraham. Not only did he enjoy the favor of the Lord, he enjoyed the faithfulness of the Lord. Remember, Lot was a righteous man. Remember, Lot was a justified man. He knew God. And he was blessed with the favor of God and the faithfulness of the Lord. The Lord intervened and spared the life of Lot. Here was a man who was so blessed with the favor and the faithfulness of God. And yet he ended his days in a cave. He ended his days there with nothing. Notice also how he prospered in his life. Chapter 13, verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, just like Abraham. Verse 2, we're told Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And Lot was rich also. He had been prospered. He had truly been blessed. Here we have Lot, the blessed man. As far as the world's goods were concerned, Lot lacked nothing. He had everything he needed. He had everything he required. He had wealth. He had possessions. He had flocks. He had herds and tents. And yet, dear child of God, mark this. Lot ended his days with nothing. What happened? Whatever happened to Lot, it can easily happen to us. It can easily happen to any one of us. That is why we sang those hymns this evening we chose. We need the Lord to draw us nearer to Himself. We dare not stray from the Lord's side. Because that's exactly what Lot did, as we will see in a moment. And that is why Lot ended up with nothing. It can happen to us if we get away from God. Everything that we have can be taken away from us in a moment. So we have considered Lot the blessed. Let us now consider Lot the backslidden man. The backsliding of Lot can be traced back to his wealth and his prosperity. Let us consider, first of all, his departure from Abraham. We are told that Lot's wealth became so great that he and Abraham could not live side by side. Look at verses 5, 6, and 7. In chapter 13 of Genesis. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. Notice how Lot's wealth became a problem. And it drove a wedge between Lot and Abraham. For their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. The Spirit of God recorded that little detail. The Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. The ungodly witnessed this strife between the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham. And to all intents and purposes, as far as the Canaanite and the Perizzite were concerned, the strife existed between Lot and Abraham. And the ungodly witnessed it all. About this departure. I tell you, when God's people strive one against the other, the ungodly witness it all.
They don't miss it at all.
They take note of it. The Canaanite and the Perizzite take note. And brother and sister cannot dwell together in Christian unity. We note then that there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. That's the language of a spiritual man. It wasn't the language of Lot, it was the language of Abraham. There you have the problem. There was strife. It was all because of Lot's wealth and his possessions and his prosperity. Dear child of God, how often has that been the case? How often has strife between kinsmen been brought about by earthly possessions and wealth? Because the Bible is true. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Not the money, it's the love of money. And we see that Lot had a love for wealth and a love for money. And that was the problem. There was this strife, and then you have the proposal. Verses 8 and 9, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, because we are brethren. And verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. It was a most gracious proposal. Abraham gave Lot the opportunity to choose whatever part of the land he wanted. And however much of the land he wanted. Because Abraham was more interested in preserving their friendship and preserving their fellowship. He was prepared to pay that price. Let us always be like Abraham. May God save us from being like Lot. And that now brings us to a point in Lot's life that changed the whole course of his life. How easily a man's life can change because of one decision. David's life changed when he decided that he wouldn't go to war. He should have been on the field of battle, for it was the day when kings went to war, but David decided to stay at home. It was that day he committed sin with day he stayed home. And he should have been on the battlefield. And here we discover that Lot makes a decision that changes the whole course of his life and leads him down that road that would eventually bring him to that cave. So here we have not only his departure from Abraham, but we have his decision before Abraham. He stands before Abraham. Abraham has said to him, separate thyself. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest on to Zoar. Regarding Lot's decision, consider his gaze. Verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. There's his gaze. We discover that Lot was not walking by faith. He was walking by sight. He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was now here is Lot, and he had a major decision to make. Here is Lot, and he had a decision to make that would govern the direction of his life, and he never even consulted the Lord. He should have lifted up his eyes to heaven. He should have prayed over the matter. He should have sought the mind of God, but then Lot was not walking by faith. He was walking by sight. Let us make sure when it comes to major decisions, we lift up our eyes to heaven. We seek the mind of God. Failure to do so could lead us to the very cave where Lot found himself dwelling. Not only do we have his gaze, we have his greed. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. He wanted all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered. It was pleasing to his eye. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest on to Zoar. Lot was greedy. When Lot came up out of Egypt, I believe that Lot brought some of Egypt with him. Lot brought Egypt with him. He had Egypt in his heart. He had Egypt in his mind. For isn't it interesting how Lot described that area? Look at the words again. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. He still had Egypt in his eyes. He still had Egypt in his mind. He had Egypt in his heart. That spelled disaster for Lot. Dear child of God, let us not have Egypt in our eyes. Let us not have Egypt in our hearts. Let us look to the Lord. Discover what the Lord wants us to do. Discover where the Lord wants us to be and where the Lord wants us to go. And you notice also, along with his gaze and his greed, you have his garden. We discover here that Lot looked upon that well-watered plain of Jordan, and he described it as the garden of the Lord. And then in the next breath he says, it's just like Egypt. Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. In the one hand he said it's like the garden of the Lord, and then in the other hand he says it's just like the world. He tried to marry the two. Can't be done. That's what the backslider tries to do. The backslider tries to walk with the world and walk with the Lord. It can't be done. We cannot serve two masters. We must be all out for God. All for the world. And Lot tried to marry the two. He saw that place as the garden of the Lord, and at the same time he saw it just like Egypt. And then you have his grief. Though he doesn't display it at the time, but our Lot grieves over this decision years later. For we are told, verse 11, and Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. You see, Lot and Abraham couldn't agree now. Abraham walked by faith, Lot walked by sight. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. Abraham looked for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. But where was Lot looking? He was not looking for that celestial city. Lot was looking towards the sinful city. Because we are told, Abram, verse 12, dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. He made the wrong decision. Perhaps Lot thought he could live in the cities of the plain. Perhaps he thought he could live in Sodom and Gomorrah, and thought that living there in that place would not affect him. But it did. For we read in 2 Peter again, in those verses we have already read this evening, chapter 2, 2 Peter, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, that sure he was, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, what he saw and what he heard vexed him. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Can't be done. If a man or a woman is truly born again, has truly been justified by faith, has been declared righteous in the eyes of God, that man or that woman will not be happy in the world. Righteous soul will be vexed. And the backslider, that's why the backslider is the most miserable individual on the face of the earth. Because they're spoiled for both worlds. And when they are in the world, when they're looking for the city
of Sodom are looking for the cities of sin when they should be looking for the celestial city. They're vexed in their own souls and they're miserable. And I have no doubt, according to Peter's words, Lot was miserable in Sodom. His righteous soul was vexed day by day. All because of that decision. His departure from Abraham, his decision before Abraham, and his deliverance by Abraham. If you go into chapter 14 of Genesis, we discover there that a battle is raging against the king of Sodom. You could say Lot's king, because Lot has pitched his tent toward Sodom. He's under the rule of the king of Sodom. How sad it is that many professing believers are like Lot, and they're living for the world. Therefore, they're under the rule of the king of the world, instead of living for King Jesus. And we discover that in verse 10 of Genesis 14, and the vale of Sodom was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountains, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And then the word was brought to them. And Abram gathered up his men, his armed and trained servants, 318 of them, and they pursued on to Dan, verse 14. Verse 16, and he brought back all the goods, also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Lot had been delivered. But you know the thought that struck me when I read that again? You would have thought that it would have served as a warning to Lot how easily he could lose all his possessions. You thought it would have served as a warning. And Lot would have got out of Sodom. And Lot would have got on to the right road again of serving the Lord and living for God and walking by faith. Thought Lot would have learned. But no. Because the next time we find Lot, he's still in Sodom. He has even got nearer to Sodom. We turn to Genesis 19. And dear child of God, we have looked at the life of Lot, and surely we must learn from Lot's life. We must learn from him and how easily we can lose all that we have. How we need to live near the Lord. How we need to pray, Lord, save me from backsliding. Lord, keep my eyes looking towards the celestial city. Keep my eyes away from this world's cities. Keep me near the cross. But when we get to chapter 19 of Genesis, we now find the blessed man is Lot, the bankrupt. Nothing more is said about Lot until we come to the 19th chapter. Here we learn about his great losses. First of all, we could say he lost his way. Verse 1 of chapter 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. That was the worst place for any man to be found. For all the business was done in the gates. It's where all the ungodly congregated. It's where the harlots congregated. It was an awful place to be. And yet that's where Lot was sitting. He was sitting. He was right down there in that sinful place. Lot had lost his way. When the angels of God came to warn him about coming judgment, the old Sodomites of the city gathered round his house. They'd heard about the two men who had come to Lot's house. And Lot went out to them. And Lot offered them his two daughters. Lot had lost his way. Where's the blessed man now? It's all because of that decision. Pitching his tent towards Sodom. He lost his way. He lost his witness. For when he went to his family to speak to them, verse 14, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He had lost his witness. They laughed at him. He was the very man who sat and was sitting in the very gate of the sinful city. And the sons-in-law laughed at their father-in-law. Here he was, he had embraced that city, and now he was telling his sons-in-law to get out of it, and they laughed at him. He lost his way. He lost his way. He had no witness in the family. He lost his wife. Verses 23 to 26. The sun was risen up on the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. My, if you could have interviewed Lot then, you would have said to him, Lot, was it worth it? Was it worth it walking by sight? Was it worth it pitching your tent towards Sodom? Was it worth it all? I'm sure he would have said no. He lost his way. He lost his witness. He lost his wife. He lost his wealth. For we read verses 27 to 29, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, the place that Lot had coveted.
toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. God had destroyed it all. There was nothing left. All that Lot had coveted, and all that he had owned, was gone. He lost his wealth. He lost everything. All because he did not look to Abraham's God. He did not live close to the God who had saved him, justified him. He looked rather to the cities of the plain. He looked towards Sodom. He refused to separate himself from the Sodomites. He separated himself from a saint of God. He separated himself from Abraham. But he refused to separate himself from the ungodly. And oh, how he paid the price. He lost his pay. And he lost his witness. And he lost his wife. And he lost his wealth. And in many ways, in the eyes of many, he lost his worth. For the last days of Lot, sad days indeed. We find Lot now living in a cave, verse 30. He dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. And they made him drunk, and they committed incest. What was he worth? He lost everything. His testimony. Most of his family. His possessions. From God's man to a caveman. All because of one decision. Dear child of God, we need to live close to the Lord. We need not only to sing, but we need to pray. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious, bleeding, wounded side. May the Lord give us eyes for the things of God and not the things of this world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal, loving Father and gracious God, we know that tonight we have considered a very solemn, sad portion of thy word. And yet, Lord, we know the author of this book has recorded these events for our benefit, that we might learn, even learn from the mistakes of others. Lord, we pray thou would hedge up our way. We will not make the mistakes that Lot made. O God, have mercy upon us. And forgive us, Lord, for the mistakes, the sins we have made and committed in the past. We know, Lord, that it's thy mercy and grace. We're still, Lord, in that road that leads to the celestial city. And our gracious Father, in the days to come, we pray indeed that thou will keep us near to thyself. O gracious God, we need thee. And thy word tonight teaches us afresh just how much we need thee. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us, Lord, to covet the things of God, not the things of this world. Help us, Lord, to live for the King of Salem and not the King of Sodom.
Gracious Father, write this solemn word on our hearts tonight and keep us near to Thee. Be with us, our Father, as we leave the house of God tonight. Take us to our homes in safety and abide with us there until we meet again here in the Lord's house or around the Master's feet in that land that is fairer than day. Amen.